Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of A Cast of the Past. This is something different, something that we've been talking about doing for a while now, and now you're finally getting it.
Yeah, you're getting a video version with our beautiful faces in A Cast of the Past City.
Oh my God, look, it's so beautiful. So beautiful.
And in tribute to the late, great Joel Schumacher, there's neon lights everywhere, of course.
Of course. I mean, respect, right? Pour one out.
Rest in peace.
Yes, we're going to be trying to do a video podcast now on top of an audio podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But we're also going to be trying to change things up. Consider us kind of like season three, I guess, of A Cast of the Past.
Short season two leading into season three. Yeah, yeah. I think every time we try something new, we got to just cut it off and just start again, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Just what cut one head off, two more pop up.
You know, it's like seasons two and three of Heroes. You know, season two was incredibly short, and then season three was a super duper success that nobody had problems with.
It's like season four of The Office, where it's just super short, and then he came back with Office season five, and it was actually really good.
Yeah,
but we're like a Hydra. You cut one head off, and now we get more projects. We're gonna have Let's Plays, we're gonna have video podcasts, we're gonna have all kinds of other different types of podcasts. We're going to have a podcast like today where we're not even doing a particular game. We're going to actually do a multiple of gaming topics.
Absolutely. Yeah. We wanted to talk about more things that didn't necessarily warrant a full episode, but, you know, we find interesting, and we're glad that you think we're interesting. So thank you. Thank you for continuing to listen.
Yeah. So what is the topic today, Tom?
Well, we are in the midst of summer. Saturday was the summer solstice. And, you know, we wanted to talk about summer gaming. You know, like, we're going to kind of bounce between three main ideas today. We're going to talk about a little bit of, like, games that kind of put us in a summer mood. You know, whether it's by their locations or their gameplay or their aesthetics. You know, what puts us there?
What are games that make you sweat is what you're telling me.
Yeah, sweaty games. Sweaty games. And then we're going to move into gaming summer memories or traditions. You know, like, do we have certain games that we only play during the summer, or was there one magical summer where one game dominated the whole thing?
Right.
And then we're gonna do something really special. We're gonna go into a little history lesson on the history of the Xbox Live Summer of Arcade.
I mean, it's only fitting that we start this new season off by recapping one of the first episodes that we've ever talked about, which was Limbo, which came from Summer
Full
of
circle.
Arcade.
Full circle, baby.
So crazy. So crazy. Mm-hmm. So what games remind you of the summer?
Right. You know, for me, it's games with like a good tropical setting, or sometimes you have characters on vacation and something goes awry, or things like that. You know, just relaxing, upbeat energy and stuff like that. Those are the kind of games that immediately bring it to mind. What about you, Josh? What aesthetics make you say, that's a summer game?
So I think of what type of sports are included in the game. Because like, if we're going to talk about like outlaw volleyball or outlaw golf or something like that, those games, I mean, that brings out the summer in, you know, everybody. Let's talk about the Dead or Alive games. Am I right?
Right, right. Those classics of taste and game design. Yes,
exactly. But yeah, we talk about, you know, characters who go on vacation, and I think we both are talking about the same game when we reference that type of that piece there. But
sure,
it really is the aesthetic to it. It's whether or not, you know, the setting and location of a game or what's happening to it, because like you can talk about games like Dead Island, you can talk about games like Mario Sunshine, but then you have games like Wii Sports Resort. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Where it's just like all this is happening on this nice little island, and it's just fun and relaxing. And it's one of those, like, it's a game that makes you feel like you're relaxing. You're enjoying it. You're not being stressed out by all the first person shooters and all the third person action adventure games around you. You're just here to let your hair down and feel the cool breeze with a coconut drink in your hand.
I agree with you. I think you can have some high tense, stressful summer situations, though. I mean, you did mention Dead Rising. That's a game that's on my list.
Dead Island.
Yeah, Dead Island. Whoops. Wow. Dead Rising is the shopping one, and Dead Island is the vacation one.
Did I say Dead Island?
I don't remember which one you did say, but here's the thing. They shouldn't name these franchises so similarly. It's not fair. Just because zombies are in it doesn't mean you can just throw Dead in the title and call it a day. Anyway.
Left for Dead?
Left for, yeah. Come on. Dead Island and its sequel, Dead Island Riptide, both very intense games, you know, that you can, you know, that shows that you can turn a tropical setting into something really over the top. Here's a choice. I don't know if you'll agree with me. The first Bioshock. Such a summer game. Beyond its like aquatic ocean setting, it's kind of like, you know, a summer blockbuster gone dark. So
okay,
I kind of consider that a summer entry, summer title, you know.
Another game that I think also, and it's kind of weird because it came out later in the year, but Assassin's Creed Black Flag.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
You're going from shore to shore, being a pirate. You know, when you think of the Caribbeans, it's that, you know, summertime, you know, beach aesthetic.
Mm-hmm. But it's a little annoying that, like, every once in a while, the game stops the summer vacation to make you go back to work in all the
it's the worst part of that game, too. Like, I was like, I want to go back and I'm going to play that game again. Maybe do it for an upcoming episode or something along those lines. Or maybe actually beat an Assassin's Creed game. And then I was like, I just don't want to play the real life stuff in that game. It's just so boring.
It's why I haven't gone back to it. And like, I'm the person who like doesn't skip cutscenes. I'm the person who likes deep story development, deep character development. And I know those Abstergo scenes are there to kind of flesh out the world. Yep. But I just don't care. Like, you can't let me be a pirate unchained for that long. And then it's like, walk your character back to their desk and type up a memo. It's like, no, I'm not doing it.
When you think of games, though, I mean, we talk about, you know, vacation style games, like Mario Sunshine is probably like the pinnacle of all of this.
Let's just get it out of the way. Yes, that's the first thing we both thought of. It's like, of course, you know.
Do you think that it is going to lose its title as the perfect vacation game?
Is there a contender?
There's a contender that came out on March 20th of this year.
Oh, do you mean Animal Crossing?
I do mean Animal Crossing. New Horizons, that is like, it's your tropical paradise.
Well, a little bit of a hot take. I'm kind of underwhelmed by summer so far.
Okay.
I don't find the wedding season event that engaging. I did it for a little bit and just kind of letting it go. I've put the seasonal summer decorations all around my island. Those are very nice, very pleasant and enjoyable. I think... In a way to answer your question is, like, I don't think Animal Crossing could unseat Sunshine as Nintendo's premier vacation game. Okay. Because I think they're both doing their own different things. It's like, Mario is a story about a vacation gone wrong and you gotta save it. And then Animal Crossing is just like, have your own chill time at your own chill pace. You know what I mean? So... hopefully they can coexist. Hopefully we don't have to pit them against each other.
Well, it's Nintendo versus Nintendo, am I right?
Right. Whoever wins, we win. So
that's true. That's
that.
True.
A lot of good games that bring out those summer feelings. But what about, Josh, is there any game in particular that you just have a fond summer memory of? Like something that you used your summer vacation to like really play through intensely, or even, you know, just something that's become a summer tradition?
I wouldn't say a super summer super summer tradition. That's a that was a mouthful of words.
Yeah,
I remember fondly. This got to be 10, 11 years ago, where I hung out with our friend Steve and his brother Matt, and mm-hmm. we played Super Smash Brothers for hours every day. And I'm sorry, Super Smash Brothers Melee. All those listening. Yes. And it was to the point where we would just play 100 stock and we would just play for hours and just see how far we can go. And like, we would do the whole thing. It would take, you know, 3-4, almost 5 hours sometimes to go through all 100 stocks, but we were doing it and it was fun. And I mean, that was a pinnacle of my life. And then in high school, summertime, Rock Band, Guitar Hero, all of that stuff was crazy.
Absolutely. And you got show the tattoos off. Show them off. We're in video now. Yeah.
God. Oh, yeah. If people can see these things. Oh, my God.
I know, right? If that eventually I imagine we'll get published. You're losing
Crash
out.
Bandicoot. He got a new game today.
He did. Yes. Today we recording. They announced Crash Bandicoot 4, officially announced it. So finally,
a game series that I never played is getting a sequel. Finally.
But yeah, talking about these games, like, these are games that I played nonstop or had friends over to constantly keep playing. It was one of those things that, like, it just brought people together in a time where you're supposed to go outside, but why go outside when you have really awesome games to play?
Exactly. Why bother? I mean, come on.
What reminds you of the summer?
So I like you. I don't have any traditions per se, but the summer when I was young was a time where, like, my Game Boy really got brought out. You know, if we went on a summer vacation in the car, I was rocking Mario 6 Golden Coins or some version of Pokemon nonstop. Also, random, but the Men in Black animated series tie-in game
on the Game Boy Color.
Yep.
I won that in a contest, and I'm sure my adult brain would be like, this game is ass. But back then, I was like, this is the Dark Souls of my childhood. You know, like, I thought the difficulty was a good thing. But I remember putting a lot of work into beating that.
Right.
And then, you know, as I grew up, comes a little more console-based. I have to very straight up say that the summer of 2003 was heavily dominated by Enter the Matrix on the PlayStation 2, which was the... it was the official tie-in game to Matrix Reloaded, which came out that May. And then it helped fill in the gaps of that movie and then also lead up to that November's Matrix Revolutions.
I love that game.
I was obsessed with that game.
It's probably not good anymore.
Probably not. But it was so cool because the directors and the cast filmed 45 minutes of exclusive live-action footage just for those games. So you were getting this third person kind of action melee and gun combat with, like, the slow motion Matrix, you know, effects. And then, oh, like, scenes from this really cool, like, you know, R-rated blockbuster, said 14-year-old me, who was like, yeah, awesome. So
what's your take on the Matrix sequels?
They are, like, conceptually, I get the big ideas they were going for. I think they kind of go downhill movie to movie. Reloaded has some of the best action sequences of all time. I will defend that to my dying breath. Like, the freeway scene is iconic. They built an actual 2-mile stretch of freeway. You know, so much of that was done practically. It's so cool just to go back and watch that. Revolutions, you know, it's very difficult trying to, like, give them credit for the philosophical stuff they were doing, but then just kind of square with the fact that parts of it just don't fully work.
Mm-hmm.
So it just gets messier as it goes on, but it's a trilogy that I overall say I'm fond of. What about you?
I loved Reloaded. Mm-hmm. I always remember hating Revolutions. I don't know why. I think it was just, it got to a point where it was really cheesy, and then it turned into virtual Jesus at the end. And I was like, I don't know about this. But Reloaded, right, I just remember constantly, that was like almost nonstop action that entire movie, which was great. I mean, I think those were summer blockbusters.
Well, Revolutions itself wasn't. It was a fall blockbuster. Okay. But, you know, like, there's religious stuff throughout the Matrix movies, and I get it. It's just, I know what you're saying. They just outright... They really lathered it on, I think, a little too strongly in Revolutions, whereas in the first two, they did it in creative and in, like, ways. So. But,
yeah, the game, though, the Enter mm-hmm. Matrix, fantastic. Path of Neo, not so much.
Haven't touched that one, but I will. Yeah, maybe a future. Maybe.
We got time.
Yeah. And then, you know, honestly, the final one I have to say with as a definitive experience was in the summer of 2007. So I gave up my interest in Pokemon as, like, I entered high school because I was like, that's kid stuff, blah, blah, blah. I want friends, so I can't like this stuff, you know. So yeah. I kind of let it go by the wayside. But then senior year, I feel like everybody, regardless of who you were, you started to fall into the childhood nostalgia trap of, like, oh, I'm graduating, now I'm looking back. And I got back into Pokemon hardcore. I'm still into it to this day. And so I rebought, after I graduated, a Nintendo... Well, not rebought. I bought for the first time. I grabbed myself a DS Lite and Pokemon Diamond, and that was a big part of that summer, just like getting back into the games, like full stop. And I played Pokemon Diamond for the majority of my senior week trip. I didn't do any of like the classic, like over the top partying. I was just like, hey guys, I caught up a doof. You know?
So that's the most memorable part of a vacation is Bidoofs.
Yep. Taught it every single HM that I needed and boom, just was ready to go. So yeah, that was a seminal moment for me.
Are there any games still currently that you play during the summer, or you just kind of see what new releases are out there? Like, is there a game that you constantly go back to, or it's like, I need to revisit this every now and then?
Mm-hmm. So yeah, when we were talking about this topic specifically, we were like, well, you know, I imagine there's horror games you play every October and stuff like that. So there has to be something for the summer. And I got to say, like, as I've gotten older, I've just diversified it. You know, if I have summer break time, like 4th of July weekend or something, it's usually like, what game can I catch up on? You know, so not too much, but you know, I should probably kind of look out. Like maybe there's a summer classic around the corner that I just haven't picked up on yet, you know?
Yeah, I usually find myself playing the Arkham Asylum and Arkham City. I don't really jump into the other ones, but yeah, it's just something about them. Just, I feel like it's just one of those things, like I can play Asylum, I could probably play over the course of a day and be good with that. I've played that game so many times. City's maybe like a weekend, or if it's like a two or three rainy days coming up and I have those days off, I'll sit down and I'll play City through. But those are games that I just do go back to because it's just like, I'm Batman.
Yeah. Yes. Like we were saying, summer blockbuster, you know? Yeah. And if you're not going for completionism in the replays, I know you are a completionist, but if they're just replays for replay's sake, I think you can get through both of those fairly quickly.
And that's the thing. I've gotten those Riddler trophies. I went through and got those achievements and trophies that I needed. Now I'm just in for the story. Get it in and out.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. Yeah. No, that's really good stuff.
So let's talk about the Xbox Summer of Arcade. The Xbox Summer of Arcade went on for 6 years, I believe. It was 2008 to 2013.
Had a good run.
You can tell kind of towards the end it fell off a little bit in quality. Some quality was still there, but compared to the previous years, it just wasn't hitting as it used to.
Gotcha. Yeah. The quality and the variety of like eye-grabbing critically acclaimed titles fizzles out a little bit, but still some popular things in here as it goes on. So in 2008, the launch year of the Xbox Summer of Arcade, we had Bionic Commando Rearmed, Braid, Castle Crashers, Galaga Legions, and Geometry Wars Retro Evolved 2. Pretty good lineup.
Yeah, one of those games they've already talked about.
Yes, Braid. We did a full episode for that. Check that out on our podcast streams if you'd like to hear about that that very interesting, you know, dramatic title.
In 2009, the way back, you know, years of 2009, we had Marvel vs. Capcom 2, New Age of Heroes.
Big one, yeah.
Shadow Complex, Splosion Man, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Turtles in Time Reshelled, and Trials HD. This year was probably one of the strongest releases of the Summer Arcade, I personally think. And one of those games you can't get anymore.
Yeah, that's something curious. Well, not curious. I get how licensing works. But it's a bummer, I guess is a better word to say, is how titles just get delisted on Xbox. It makes it hard to really appreciate gaming history when it's not preserved as well. But Josh, which game is that has unfortunately been taken?
That was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Turtles in Time, Reshelled Edition.
Would you say from that list, that was your peak game of that year?
Yeah. No. I would say yes, because I love Turtles in Time, but Shadow Complex is an amazing game. It introduced us to a man everyone knows now as Nolan North.
There you go. Unprecedented.
But I mean, all five of those games though are wonderful games.
I mean, Marvel vs. Capcom, iconic fighting series. Splosion Man, a fun little game, like in the kind of goofy vein of like Super Meat Boy. You know, we've talked about that on the podcast before. And then Trials HD, you know, that I'm familiar with the Trials series. It's like, you know, a very fun kind of like competitive, you know, stunt dirt bike game. So seeing that brought out, that's a fun summerish game too, in terms of sports games, like you were saying, you know?
Right.
Right. So, moving on to 2010, the five games are Castlevania Harmony of Despair, Hydro Thunder Hurricane, Lara Croft and the Guardian of Light, Limbo, and Monday Night Combat.
Can I just say, Lara Croft and the Guardian of Light, I think I own that game on almost every console because they've given it to me for free and I still have not played it.
Oh, wow. What keeps you away from it?
It's a top-down kind of
isometric,
perspective game, and it's just not the Tomb Raider that I enjoy. It's I don't know. If I wanted to play a game like that, I would probably play Lara Croft Go.
Oh,
which
yeah.
I like the Go series. I think those are fun puzzle games. I just never had the urge to go in and play, even though they've given it to me for free on the PC, the PlayStation 4, the Xbox. Like, I think it's on PlayStation 4 or PlayStation 3. One of those.
Crystal Dynamics just has all your accounts and everything. They're like, Josh, play it.
Pick this up. Between that and Child of Light, I don't know what game I have more.
Really? That's interesting. I always see Child of Light on the eShop, and I'm like, maybe I should pick that up.
It's a great game. It is a great game. I've never completed it. Becca says it's the best game to fall asleep to because the soundtrack is just so calming and soothing that it just always puts her to sleep when I'm playing it. She's like, I love the game. It's beautiful, but I just want to go to sleep every time you play it.
It's a free guided meditation. Okay. So Limbo is obviously a game that we've covered for the show. That was the first episode. Our pilot episode was Limbo. Still holds up, still very good. Monday Night Combat, I would say, is the one on here I am not familiar with at all, really.
Nope.
Downloadable third-person shooter video game. Sorry, maybe we're bad historians, but I just don't know that much about it.
It didn't leave that much of an impact as all the other games did.
Gotcha. Hydro Thunder Hurricane, that was a pretty fun racing game. I find water sports and water sports racing games to be like an interesting genre because not many people go near it in terms of developers. I mean, you know,
right.
I feel like because water physics and everything are probably very hard to handle.
Yeah.
But I admire a good one when it's done right. The Hydro series, I thought that they were good personally. It's like Wave Race. I wish they would bring them back, but.
Yeah, I mean, Hydro Thunder, I just remember that from being in the arcades.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it was always next to like Cruisin' USA and Cruisin' San Francisco and all those other type of sit down in the vehicle type racing games.
But I gotcha.
Yeah.
The big boy in terms of branding on here next to Lara Croft is, of course, Castlevania Harmony of Despair. And as Josh, as the resident Castlevania expert, what is your opinion of that entry?
I've never played that one.
Oh, no. Well, it's okay. Just gives us an opportunity to maybe play for the show.
So when it comes to the Castlevania games, I'm a huge fan of the retros.
Sure.
I don't mind the Lord of Shadow games either. It's a different take on it. More kind of God of War-ish.
Very God of War inspired.
But,
I have played about an hour of Lord of Shadow and it's so apparent.
But it's fun. It's a different take on it. When it comes to these, I'm not sure how this was a platform adventure, so it might be similar to, I think the most frequently newest Castlevania that I played and beat was Rondo of Blood and Symphony of the Night and then Castlevania 64. But other than that, like everything after that was kind of just a little hazy because they kind of start blending together and the story starts going all kinds of crazy with there's too many Castlevania games, but they're all good.
Gotcha.
Most of them are good.
They all just got these dramatic titles.
Right.
It's like Dead Rising and Dead Island. Like just, you know, put a joke in one of your titles, Castlevania, then I won't get them mixed up.
2011 brought us Bastion, From Dust, Fruit Ninja Connect, Insanely Twisted Shadow Planet, and Toy Soldier Cold War.
I've got two very big opinions about this top five, but Josh, kind of run me through what you think of this lineup.
This, it's all over the place. Mm-hmm. You have your edgy indie games, from your family-friendly games to your war games, all over the place here. I will say, I know Fruit Ninja because it was huge on phones and tablets and in arcades and all that kind of stuff. Fruit Ninja was, I think, like around the Angry Birds time when they came out. And those two things were just all over the place. And it's just,
it was.
Yeah.
Can I tell you my relationship with the Xbox version of Fruit Ninja?
No, please.
So, of course, like you, I was aware of Fruit Ninja because anyone with a touchscreen phone was like, oh, look, I can cut up fruit. In 2011, someone hacked my Xbox account and used my credit card information to buy hundreds of dollars worth of games. And like one of them was Fruit Ninja Connect. And I remember this because here is the crazy thing. I reported it right away. And Microsoft, the support helpline, very helpful in the end, but they told us, we can't resolve it for 30 days. And I was like, what does that mean? And they're like, we have to give this to an investigative team who will look into it internally because money was, like, you know, stolen. So, like, we can't fully give you your account back until this is done. And I was like, okay. So not only did I have to wait out being refunded hundreds of dollars and dealing with the overdraft fees with that, but this is in college, mind you. So I would say be in my roommate Nick's room and I'd be watching him play a game on Xbox. And it would say, Tom Peeler just logged on to Xbox Live. And everyone would turn and look at me and I'd be like, this is insulting. He's just using my account and making me watch. But yeah, he racked up. I have achievement scores for Fruit Ninja Connect. I've never played the game. Never played it.
You're just so good at it.
Apparently. So yeah, that happened.
Oh, that's a story. Do you remember? So just a little side tangent here. Do you remember back when like smartphones and stuff like that came out and like all people wanted was the lighter app on your phone, the Zippo lighter app, like
or the gun app.
Or
the
gun drinking the beer, like,
yeah.
And look at how far we've come.
That's this kind of stuff that like boomers have on their phones now. They're like, oh, look.
Do you remember having to get ringtones off of a commercial on TV?
Oh, that don't show our age that much. But yes, I remember. Yes. Text Fam Guy 1 for Peter laughing. Text Fam Guy 2 for Quagmire saying giggity. Like all
text
of that
crazy frog, the 31313.
Oh, oof, big oof. Remember when ringtones cost money, period? And now you just can like pull off of the music files on your phone.
Yep.
And just get ringtones from there.
Yep.
Oh,
but I think from 2011, mm-hmm. Bastion's probably the winner on this one here. Bastion's fantastic.
Yeah, that's the critically acclaimed game that I think most people would be familiar with from that year. It's got a great reputation, beautiful art style. Yeah, just that's far and away the winner.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Also, I just have a small gripe with Toy Soldiers Cold War. Never played it. Don't know anything about it. Just looking at it here. How dare they try to do the Army Men franchise gimmick? But
how dare they?
How dare they? Without any of the charm. Like, this looks so generic and boring.
Right.
But that takes us into 2012, Josh.
Yes, 2012 is, I think we're going to have different opinions on this one here.
Well, let's look at it. We have Deadlight. We have Dust and Elysian Tale. We've got Hybrid. And then we have Tony Hawk's Pro Skater HD. And finally, we have Wrecketeer. But spelled with a W, so it's not, you know,
right, like wreck. Wrecking stuff.
Yeah, wreck is the emphasized word. What do you feel about this year, Josh?
So Deadlight, Dust, and Tony Hawk Pro Skater were probably the games I played most out of this year. Mm-hmm. Tony Hawk Pro Skater HD was pretty much a mix mash of 1 and 2 together, which it was all right. It pretty much filled that gap that we needed after Tony Hawk Underground. Hopefully in September, things are going to change and this is going to be all in the past for us.
I think this new version is being handled with a lot more tender love and care than mm-hmm. Tony Hawk was in this time period. The 20 teens, bad time period for Tony Hawk games. Yep. So, yeah, but I know exactly what you mean by that game's mixed reputation.
But I think the winner of this year, mm-hmm. Dust and Elysian Tale. Wonderful game. I've played it numerous times. It is fantastic.
Another blind spot for me, but I am aware of its reputation. So it's good to hear from you that you like it. Definitely something I got to move up.
It's a very good Metroidvania.
Oh, even better. I think that's secretly one of my favorite genres, even though I never think about it that much. So my question real quick is, have you played Deadlight?
Yes, I own it. It's fun.
Is it fun? Because I've heard, you know, I'm a big fan of cutscenes and like cinematics and stuff. And I've been told that this game has a very cinematic kind of perspective and like, you know,
if I'm not mistaken with the way that it plays, mm-hmm. it's like a survival horror, but it's done in the same way that Shadow Complex is.
Oh, okay.
Where you kind of go across the screen and then you're like angling for shots and like ways to get, you know, away from zombies or kill zombies and stuff like that. I'm pretty sure that the last time I played it, that's what I remember of it, but I could be mistaken too.
Gotcha.
I'm old now, so.
Okay. I hear you. Me too. You're older than me though. So
that's,
you
know, true.
That. But Jess, we got one more year to go in this journey through time. So do you want to wrap things up with the final year of the Summer of Arcade?
So the year is 2013. We have Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows. We have Flashback. We have Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons. And we have Charlie Murderer.
Delightful.
And this is the end of the Summer Arcade.
I'm assuming that maybe the only one you know about is, well, I would think both of us know about Brothers.
Yes.
That's a game. It's an indie game that's kind of been well received and stuck around for a while.
And our man was the director of that game.
Who, Wario?
No. No, that's our boy.
No. But anyway.
Joseph Fares.
Yes. Yes. That was really good seeing it highlighted in his little like show reel during the EA Play where they showed that and a way out, you know, building up to his next game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I played Brothers a couple times. It was all right. I think out of all of these, the Ninja Turtles game is the one that I remember playing,
mm-hmm.
but I don't remember anything from it, which shows you how memorable it was. I remember playing it and owning it, but I do not remember anything from it. It is just like a blank hole in my knowledge.
Gotcha. Just one of those games that didn't exist, like movies that don't exist. It's like, I saw that movie. It doesn't exist.
If somebody would have told me, do you remember this game? No. I saw the artwork too. I'm like, oh, I remember playing that. I have no idea what the hell it was about. But it was probably about Ninja Turtles, but that was it.
Yeah. Well, sadly, in terms of not existing, Summer of Arcade went out the door after this. I don't know if they're ever going to bring it back. Although, you know, like, I think it was easier for them when they were kind of like a groundbreaking hub for indie highlights, you know, through the Xbox Live Arcade. But then, you know, PlayStation Plus through the PlayStation Network kind of came out. WiiWare, you know, came out. Although that didn't last as long, but you know, like, they weren't the only, you know, kings on the playground anymore. So but I think they were doing it in my opinion, pretty damn well. I don't know why they quit.
I mean, it worked. It was fun. It always gave you something to look forward to. Cause each game got like advertised for like a couple weeks leading up to it. And like, there was big reveals around them. There was a lot of hype between all of the games getting it released, no matter how small or big the games were. But yeah, I think it'd be something cool to call back to later down the road, but with indie games now pretty much having free reign of any console that they want and being able to play wherever they want to, it's really hard for them to kind of have lightning strike twice with this thing. I mean, one of my favorite developers is Devolver Digital. And I mean, they're still considered kind of indie. Every game that they make is fantastic, but they just kind of go and just release it out to everything. There's no point of keeping this exclusivity every single time. Like, what's the point of being exclusive anymore?
I think the only way you're really considered indie anymore is until Xbox desperately buys you in an attempt to beef up their internal studio count. Yeah. Otherwise, straight indie.
But I mean, it's working.
I mean, 15 studios, I believe, is the count as of the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Josh, do you know about the giveaways that the Summer Arcade did towards like the beginning of its run?
No.
All right. Well, let me lay it down for you. So, the first year of Summer of Arcade, if you bought any single of the titles, you were automatically entered into a drawing to win a grand prize, which consisted of 100,000 Microsoft points, which, if you remember Xbox 360 back in the day, it was never really clear on like how many Xbox Microsoft points equaled $1.
Yeah.
It was always this really random ratio, but you know, 100,000, that's pretty beefy. In addition, the grand prize also included a 12-month gold subscription and an Xbox Elite console. So you buy one of those games, you could win big.
Okay.
The second year, as a follow-up, they also did a little bit of a contest. Don't mind me looking explicitly at my notes to remember this.
That's fine.
But if you purchased all of the titles during the second Summer of Arcade, all five, you were gifted 800 Microsoft points.
Okay.
So they seem to have stopped it after that point. I don't know if it's because money, you know, greed, but I think that was pretty interesting. I'm kind of curious. I wonder if anybody actually did win, and if that person's out there, you know, that big Summer of Arcade winner.
If you are, let us know. Maybe absolutely. We can talk with you a little bit about what you did to get
to
win.
We would absolutely have you on the show.
Yeah. You could be right in between me and Tom and our little city skyline.
Little neon, yeah. Oh.
So what are you looking to play this summer, though, Tom?
Well, at this point, I think I'd have to say that since I don't know what new games are ever coming out because of the state of the world, I'm probably going to be going all in on catching up, and the first big title I'm catching up on is going to be The Last of Us. Playing it for the first time, because The Last of Us 2 debuted this summer, and I'm like, all right, I got to get around to this. I can't be behind on two critically acclaimed Naughty Dog games, you
right,
know.
Right.
Two more anyway. What about you, Josh?
So, almost in the same vein, The Last of Us 2 is probably going to be the game that I pick up here very shortly and jump into it. I might stream it on the channel just because I know everybody's it's very, very split right now with this game. I might go back through and try to catch up on some other games too that I just haven't played for a really long time. Talking about Mario Sunshine, that might be a game that I jump into.
Nice.
Plus, we have a whole list of games that we are talking about playing on the podcast. So, I mean, I got lots of stuff to keep me busy here in the upcoming weeks.
Yep. Yeah, we're being busy little bees, and I'm really excited. Yeah, most of the stuff I'm going to be playing is for episodes, and you'll get to hear what we think because they're going to be filling your ears and your eyeballs all summer long.
They are. Do you have anything else to add, Tom?
Just that, you know, I'm looking forward to this summer. I'm going to try to make the best of it, and I'd like to just kind of fill it with a lot of great first-time gaming experiences. What about you, Josh?
Yeah, same. I'm looking to go back, maybe relive some classics that I haven't been able to play in a really long time or at all, but we'll see. We'll see what time has, and who knows what's going to happen in 2020, because this year right now has just been so unpredictable that unpredictable in a good way, though, if you're a gamer, I guess. Unless you're looking forward to Cyberpunk.
That's going to get moved again. I'm sorry. It's going to.
Yeah.
But until then, we'll just have to see.
Well, that's all the time that we can spend in the past, so thanks for listening. Subscribe to A Cast of the Past on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. And stay up to date with The Cast of the Past by making sure you follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. There you can be the first to know when new episodes drop, as well as joining in on discussions on all things gaming. And until next time, we'll see you in the future.